Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The following is a presentation of Podcast One.
What the hell is Brett Favre doing here?
Eric Bolling and Brett Favre on everything from politics and sports to business and culture.
This year has been insane.
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
That man right there, number four, Brett Favre. First NFL completion, and it's to himself.
It's big time and prime time.
That's why Brett Favre is Brett Favre. Yep.
Now it's Bolling with Favre.
All right, here we go. Show number four, Bowling with Favre. Brett, good to see you. Remember, everyone, if you're here, you've already found us, but you got to rate us. Make sure you review the show and rate us. That really helps us out a lot, quite a bit, and we're doing great. Love it. Love it every minute, Brett and Eric. So, Brett, my friend, my man, since last week, lot has gone down. How you been, brother?
I'm good. Long time no talk.
Yeah, and I just want to point out to the listeners, because they can't see it, but right before we started, Brett said, let me get a bottle of water, and he ran off screen, so we're taping this on, for a clip, but you're hearing the audio, but so he runs off screen, he comes back, and I was waiting for someone to squirt the water into your mouth, Brett, but that didn't
happen. Those days are over, and I told Eric, once you retire.
No one squirts water in your mouth for you.
You're cut off. From the inheritance.
Well, you're big time. You signed some of those big contracts. Maybe you hire a guy to walk around and squirt water in your mouth when you're cycling or.
No. Yeah, but the key word there is you hire, which means you pay.
You pay.
When you're playing football or professional sports, the people that are squirting water in your mouth, you're not paying.
I obviously I didn't play at your level, but I played sports and played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I can't get over standing there and have someone squirt water in my mouth for me. It's not like you're doing something with your hands to time out. You're just standing there. Like, can I grab that and do it myself?
Yeah. I that's a good question. I never thought about it until you brought that up. Occasionally you'll see a guy grab the water bottle, But when the guy comes out there with the water or walking down up and down the sidelines, generally you just, I don't know who started that, the manager or the player. Somewhere it had to start, like, you do it. My hands are cold. You spray. I don't know.
It was probably a joke. You're probably like some guy leaned over and opened his mouth and like, and a manager squirted water at him or something, and then it became a thing.
Yeah. That makes you think about, just crazy stuff that you never really thought about before. Like, how did that, where did that start and who started it? But anyway.
Yeah. Funny guy, whoever it was a funny person who started it.
Or lazy.
Big story of the week, Brett. You're down in the South and in Mississippi, but one of your neighboring states there, Texas, had a massive freeze. I guess they call it historic, and some people are comparing it to Hurricane Harvey, one of the worst storms ever to hit the state, one of the worst natural disasters ever. But it was a winter crisis. Tens of thousands were left without power, millions under boil water advisory. But right in the middle of it, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, everyone knows him, he ran for president up against Trump in 2016. He left. He took his family to Cancun, Mexico, and caught quite a, let's call it a shit storm from the media for leaving in the middle of a winter storm. He had to turn around with his tail between his legs and turned around, came back home on the next flight, allegedly.
Okay. My thought on that, I know who Ted Cruz is. I don't know Ted Cruz. I've never met him. I've never talked to him. He may be the greatest guy in the world. He may be the biggest jerk. I don't know. But when I saw this, I thought to myself, I was really indifferent. And my first thought was, what could he have been doing in Texas that he couldn't do remotely? It just happens to be Cancun. And what I'm saying is,
hold on a second. Just happens to be across the border in Mexico where it's 80 degrees and the fellow Texans are freezing, freezing. Look, it's optics, right? I mean,
did he neglect his people by being gone? I mean, I guess that's what ultimately you have to, or can he, isn't mostly what a senator, a congressman, look, and you've been in politics for a long time. I have zero intellectual knowledge to the ins and outs of politics, nor do I want to, but isn't there power in phone calls and texts and emails, they're not out with a shovel.
There's am I right? Nothing that family could have done to help the crisis going on in Texas, with the exception of saying, hey, I'm your senator. I'm not. Here's part of the problem. Mrs. Cruz, leading up to their weekend in Cancun, texted a bunch of friends in the neighborhood. And one of the friends leaked it to the press, and the text said, anyone can or want to leave for the week? We may go to Cancun. And she said, there's a direct flight. Hotels are have capacity. And then she said something, and she said something like only $300 a night at the Ritz-Carlton. I think that's what she said. And then they went, and here, you know what? Look, you make a mistake, you eat it. Ted gets there. There's a bunch of video of him getting on the plane. He gets there, and there's, he's carrying, by the way, it's amazing some of what they've done in the media. He's got a bag, right? So he's got a wheel bag, and he's walking around the airport with this wheel bag. Now they've placed that picture of him with that wheel bag on Mars. They placed it underwater. They're ripping him apart. Yeah. But what happened is he said he was dropping his daughters off because they wanted to get away for a vacation. Clearly he wasn't just dropping them off because he had a pretty sizable bag. He planned on staying. First, he said he was dropping his daughters. Then he walked that back and said, I was going to stay till Saturday. So just come step up to the plate and say, look, I made a mistake. I apologize. I just never should have left. I mean, I don't think he should have left. We rip these politicians for doing stupid shit all the time. When Governor Newsom in California said he was closing the restaurants, he was pulling people out of restaurants, shutting them down. But before he did that, as that bill is passing through the state Senate, whatever they needed to do, literally within 24 hours of that bill passing, he flew from Southern California from Sacramento to San Francisco and had a $400 per plate dinner at a restaurant called French Laundry, which is indoors. So not only was it outdoors, it was open. And the optics were bad, and there's over 1 million signatures now to recall Governor Newsom. Yeah, it's got to play on both sides. I mean, Governor Newsom wasn't going to save any lives, but the optics of going to a restaurant when you're shutting down restaurants, or the optics of running off to Cancun when your state is like freezing. I don't know.
I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this, not necessarily on the air from a political perspective. There's those that if they're not in your party or don't like you, there's nothing you can do that's going to change their mind. I mean, and that's a shame that this world has gotten to this. And you know, I don't know if I'm totally honest with you. I don't know if a governor from California is Democrat or Republican.
Democrat. So my point is I ripped him for doing that. And I got to keep Ted Cruz accountable for making, not that he would have done any better work or more work staying in Texas. It's just when, you know, when your neighborhood's on fire, stay with your neighbors. Right. I mean, that's,
yeah. You know, I guess the other part of it, and you sort of alluded to it, if you choose to be in that position of, yeah, you know, person of authority, and maybe more authority than most, or maybe looked at more endearing than most, then if you're the smallest guy on the lowest guy on the totem pole, you could get away with going to Cancun. Not that you could have done any more or any less work than Ted Cruz, but people won't care.
Remember when Barack Obama was president, there were some massive tornadoes in Alabama. And he was in Europe and he didn't come back. Now, he was already there. So it's not like he left. He was already there. He didn't come back. I think it took him 2 or 3 days to come back from Europe, and he got ripped for that.
And he shouldn't have.
Yeah. Well, but here's your the point. I think you're trying to make is, no matter what you do, you're still going to be, the other side is going to hate you for it. So the conservatives of the right just ripped Obama for taking 3 days to get back to Alabama from wherever he was. On the other side, the Hurricane Maria that ravaged, that almost wiped out Puerto Rico, Trump went down there right away, which you would think would be great, but they have a photo op of him throwing paper towels to people, and they ripped him for the way he threw the paper towels, like being insensitive.
Which is ridiculous.
You can't do anything right on both sides.
Yeah, and that's a shame, because the attention is more about what they did or didn't do, or said they were going to do and didn't do, rather than acknowledging when someone does something good, regardless of party.
I'll give you one more. Governor DeSantis in Florida, a Republican, kept his state open. The left can't stand him for what he did, but he did a good job with it. The COVID numbers are down. The economy stayed open. Economic numbers in Florida are off the chart good. He may run for president on the heels of that. He got more vaccines in people's arms, I think, than any other state, right up there. But then the people who hate Republicans, who hate Florida governors, said that the vaccine centers that he put into the various neighborhoods or businesses, he said DeSantis was using favoritism. So he got more shots in people's arms. He aggressively put it out there, kept the economy open. But because of the places he chose, there's some sort of payback to the governor. I mean, you're saving lives, but somehow they're going to tag you with it. I'll tell you, politics, the reason why I love what we're doing, let's leave politics. Politics is a blood sport, man. Yeah. They rip your head off.
Yeah. Next topic.
All right. Next topic before we go, though. Ted Cruz, by the way, when he came back from when he came back from Cancun, there was a mariachi. Someone hired a mariachi band to play.
That's funny.
That was worth it. But before we go into the next topic, IP Vanish, we talked about it a few times, and it's really important to protect yourself online, and that includes your IP address. That's how all those social media guys, you know what they are. You're online, you're doing something, they grab your IP address, and all of a sudden everything you do pops up everywhere. They know what you've been looking at on the internet. They just grab your IP address and they've sold it. The good news is, for only $3.49 a month, you can protect yourself from all that thanks to our partner, IP Vanish.
Yeah, IP Vanish is a virtual private network, VPN. So if you're watching Jeopardy, and they say, what does VPN stand for? Now you know, a virtual private network. And it works on computers, tablets, and phones, which is great. And it's really, really affordable.
Yeah, I think you have to phrase the answer in the form of a question. Yeah. So
I just lost.
What is virtual private network, Brett? For just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year, you can protect your online privacy and security, because when you use a VPN, virtual private network, all your data is encrypted. That's the important part, because what you're doing on the internet is your business and no one else's.
And for $3, get it, $3.49 a month. is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, because IP Vantage loves the show, they're hooking you up with a huge special, 65% off. Just go to ipvantage.com/Favre, F-A-V-R-E, and claim your 65% savings. IP Vantage is the best of the best, and we want you to show these guys some love. It's ipvantage.com/Favre to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. All right. One of the other topics of the week, and I just love this. We landed on Mars, Brett. We landed a rover on Mars. It's called Perseverance Rover. And not only that, they've got video coming back. They've got audio coming back. They've got this little drone helicopter. I don't know. I guess I'm a geek that way. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I saw a little show, I think it was last week, on Perseverance and how leading up to the launch and the journey and all that stuff, how they tested it here on Earth. And, man, there's some smart people to figure all that stuff out. And I guess they have a pretty good idea what the climate's like out in Mars. I'm jiggling with a little screw on my lawnmower because it's running. I can't imagine if something's jiggling on Mars, how do you, it's just amazing what these people can come up with.
So NASA comes to Brett Favre and says, I got Brett plus one to the next mission to Mars. You may not come back, but you might be the first group of human beings to step on Mars. Do you say yes or no?
No. I'm kind of that way with the vaccine. I'll let everyone else do a test run, then come back to me then. And I'm not, it's not a guarantee then, but if I knew I could get there and get back. Now the time frame obviously is skewed. It's not like going from here to California and back, which is a long trip. If they said, look, you're going to be on Mars 15 minutes, we can guarantee you get there and back safely, but it's going to take 3 years to get there and 3.5 years to get back. Hell no, I wouldn't do it.
Well, was it headwinds in the way to Mars? What do you mean, an extra half year to
maybe we took the scenic route coming back. I don't know. We're going to go by a couple of extra galaxies. And
go to Saturn and just swing by Mars on your way home.
Yeah.
Check out the dark side of the moon for a few minutes. See, I go. I don't even need the promise of coming back. I mean, I'm on that flight. No questions asked.
All right. So this conversation reminds me of a movie. And if you've seen it, I know you loved it. Interstellar.
You know, I've probably seen it because I watch all those.
Matthew McConaughey. It's a long movie. Oh. And it's some of the content is a little above my intellectual, like the dimensions.
Yeah, it's trippy. Very trippy. Yeah.
Have you seen Martian?
Yeah, with Matt Damon. Rob.
Oh, yes, Martian's a good movie. Great movie.
Yeah.
Where he grew his own garden. Yeah.
From a potato. Yeah. I love that. I love that stuff.
Yeah, that was a great movie, too.
I'm in. Hey, Rob, let's cue up some audio. Cam Newton versus a kid. Don't ask Brett if he ever had to deal with this. Let's play the Cam Newton had a run-in with Jeff Owens. I'm sorry, Jeff. Yeah, I think it's Jeff or Seth or Jeff Owens. Take a listen to the kid. Listen.
You're a free agent. I'm rich. You're a free agent. I'm rich. You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
Come on, where's your daddy? Let me talk to your dad.
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent. You ass.
Where's your pop?
Is there more, Rob? Is there another piece of audio there?
Well, yeah, so there's another piece that was the one that went viral kind of everywhere. Yeah. This is the other piece, which was Cam, I guess, after the incident, kind of trying to talk the kid down a little bit.
Nah, ain't no disrespect. You know, if you want some attention, I'm going to give you some attention. The right way, bro. The right way. When do y'all play?
We play tomorrow.
What was y'all record today then?
1-2.
No, 2-1, 2-1. What did you do? I wasn't able to see because y'all was too.
Cameras on me.
All right, bro. What did he do, man? Does he play?
He got speed.
He got speed. Nah, you ain't. Don't act shy. Nah, bro. Don't act shy.
I'm sitting right here.
No, I'm really trying to ask you. Like, I'm trying to see, like, what you. Like, you said something to me, then I go, well, I'm really trying to talk to you. I'm not trying to, like, crack no jokes. I'm just really trying to ask a simple question, bro. I'm sorry. It's your fault why everybody's looking, but I'm really just trying to ask a question.
So Cam gets into it with a kid at, I believe it was Cam's camp. Brett, you ever get into it with a kid?
Not really. I coached high school football 2 years at Oak Grove High School here where my two daughters graduated. And, I had some – it was different, though. You know, it was coach-player interaction. I've been on both sides of that. But that was this one was different. I saw bits and pieces of it. I didn't dive into it, the Cam Newton deal, very much. I think Cam handled it very gracefully and with class. And Cam is that way. I've met Cam way back when and talked to him a few times over his career and met his family. Great family. He handled himself much better than the kid handled himself. And, you know, when I saw a clip of it initially, it goes back to what I've said the last few years when talking about things like this, subjects in regards to, you know, the youth. There's such a lack of respect just in general. And there's such a disconnect with the youth today and history. I'm not saying history is the most important thing, but you know, like I was growing up, I knew every player on every team. I knew what they did, how good they were. And like nowadays you ask a star in college who's Warren Moon, who, or Jim Kelly. No, I never heard of him. And you go, now, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, but just kind of like sitting down with your grandpa and asking him stories about what it was like to grow up back in the day. Like I did when I was a little kid, I remember asking my great grandfather what it was like. Did you have movies? Did you go to the store and get a root beer son, for a nickel. I walked to the movie, got dinner. And walk back and, but
uphill both ways.
Yeah, that's right. But, I'm kind of going, all over the place. But I mean, there's nowadays kids don't care. They don't care.
Listen, I really don't want you to get into trouble because we've had this conversation about Deshaun and whatnot and other players, J.J. Watt wanting to leave different teams. This week, we just found out he was a first-round draft pick for the Titans, and hold on, his name is Isaiah Wilson, right? 2020 first-round draft pick. He's tweeted, done with football as a Titan. Now, general manager came, kicked back, and said, you better drop that, pull that down. He pulled the tweet back, but, you know, again, this is kind of a theme I've been talking about here. And again, Brett, Hall of Fame quarterback, I get it, but and along the theme of what you just said, there's a lack of respect. I think we talked last week about when you draft someone, when you bring someone into the organization, especially in the top rounds, you want them to be part of not just the organization, not just be a good football player, but also part of the community. Guys, in his first season, he got COVID twice. He didn't play a lot. He was sick twice. He couldn't play. And now he wants to leave and publicly says something like, done with the Titans now. That's raw. I'm not sure what's going on. What do you think?
Well, I'm not either. So, you know, rather than get more trouble, I don't know.
I'm not trying to do that for the record.
I know you're not. But in fairness to him, I don't know the facts. But I do know this, that owners and the front office, the people who run the business for the owner. And some owners are more hands-on than others. They're not going to let the player dictate, you know, necessarily their future. And, you know, and in some ways you do dictate your future, in other ways you don't, but you're not going to win that battle publicly. I mean, if they still own his rights, which it sounds like they do, if he's a rookie last year, he's got really a couple of choices: quit, play, or sit out. And if you sit out, you're not getting paid. And if you quit, you're not getting paid.
He signed
always a possibility, but they don't have to trade you if they don't want to.
Listen to this. The Titans signed Wilson to a four, this is according to ESPN. Titans signed Wilson to a 4-year, $11.6 million contract in August. Tennessee would have a $5.4 million salary cap charge if they release him. So he's kind of got them.
Yeah.
By the, you know what?
Yeah. we'll see what happens with that, but.
So I have a bunch of friends who listen to the podcast every Tuesday afternoon. Again, if you're watching, make sure you rate us and review us. But every Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday, I'm having a cocktail with some friends. I listen to the podcast. And I'm like, Brett is just the great. He's just like a guy you want to talk. He just lets it rip from the top of his head. He just lets it go. And I always said, you know, it's kind of like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You know, Buck kind of sets the scene, sets the play, sets it up. And Troy says, well, here's what's really good. Here's what you're thinking. Here's what you should be thinking about. Here's what you should be seeing. I feel like we're kind of playing around that little area, the similarities, but there may be something different. And I think Rob has some audio. This week we found out from the Colin Cowherd podcast that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman's secret to success in the booth. Rob, play it.
We have had that glass of bourbon in the booth, although it's not bourbon, it's tequila, splash of Grand Marnier, and grapefruit juice. I went through a couple years where in the first inning of every postseason baseball game, I had the runner go get the biggest beer that the stadium sold, and I had it sitting there, and I would sip it from time to time to remind myself to relax and have fun. I'm just doing a game. And I brought that over to football, but because Troy is a man of finer tastes, beer somehow became tequila, Grand Marnier, and grapefruit juice. We haven't done it in a long time now, but it was good for a stretch.
My whole listen, I've done that before. Have a shot of vodka right before a show or whatever. It works. For me, it works. Grand Marnier and cranberry juice with tequila. I mean, come on, Troy.
My drinking days ended in 1998, so I'm out of touch with the latest trends. When I heard this, I laughed. Yeah, and I said, I guess that's why they're so good.
They are good.
I think they're an awesome duo.
Are they the best? You think they're the best team? In broadcasting sports
today?
Yeah,
yeah. In history, I'd have to say John Madden.
Yeah.
Right. And Summerall were hard to beat.
Madden and Summerall are amazing. Amazing.
But
better than Monday Night Football.
The dynamics was much like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, although the delivery's different.
Yeah.
And I've told Troy this so many times. I never could beat Troy. You know, he always kicked my butt, and they were a phenomenal team. But I said, as great of a quarterback as you were, I think you're even better in the booth.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he does an exceptionally great, wonderful job of being critical at times, but in a polite way, not coming across too harsh, but also he teaches you a little bit without being overbearing, you know, and he studies it hard.
So I avidly watch and listen to football, and I love Troy Aikman's perspective. Also, it's a little bit, a little more pedestrian than, say, Tony Romo. Tony Romo will break down, like, he'll do defensive reads for the viewer. I happen to like that, too. I just like Troy Aikman's personality. But Tony goes a little bit deeper into what sometimes live. He's like, yeah, he's rolling out now. He's got a cornerback, you know, and he's calling it as it's happening. That's, yeah. I kind of like that.
You know, and it's kind of like Democrat, Republican. You know, one side likes one thing, the other side likes another. I think Tony does a good job. I personally like Troy better only because, to me, in some cases, too much information is too much. And it's like, okay, well, I don't care if they're in a 4-week role, you know, I just want a little commentary and that's it.
Yeah. And Buck does a really good job setting up Aikman's color. Listen, Jim Lampley is amazing. Lampley and Romo are great. Lampley, I love it. Golf. It's a little awkward. The two of them, they're almost like they're
you mean Nance?
They're a little bit.
Jim Nance.
I don't know. What about Al Michaels and Collinsworth? Like them?
I think Al Michaels is the best to ever do it.
Ever. Howard Cosell. Ever.
Well, I mean, different. I it's kind of like Joe Montana to Tom Brady. I mean, both of them are superior. Mm-hmm. Al Michaels is just, you know, you could drop him in a booth and he'd say, look, don't tell me who I'm doing before. And it could be hockey. It could be alpine skiing. It could be Monday Night Football. It could be, and he would hit the ground running like nobody's business. Yeah. And it sounds like he's a fan of whatever, and you know he's not. Like, damn, I got alpine skiing this week. You know, goodness gracious, how do you talk about that? Or ice skating, or you know, something that you don't relate Al Michaels to, but he could do it.
Yeah, yeah. Vin Scully, one of the best ever, too.
Vin Scully, I love the Dodgers growing up.
Iconic. I grew up in Chicago.
Harry Connick. Holy cow.
Yeah, I grew up in Chicago. I grew up listening to him, Harry Carey.
Now, there's a guy that would have a couple toddies during the
– No, he'd have a Hams. Hams was the beer of Chicago. They sponsored the Cubs. And he would literally – and you didn't see this on TV because they wouldn't show it. He'd lean out of the booth and he'd sing Take Me Out to the Ballpark in the seventh inning stretch. He'd open the windows of the broadcast booth and he'd have a big – mug of Hams, like a glass mug filled, a beer mug filled with Hams, and he'd be singing, he'd be splashing all over. The guy was amazing.
Yeah. Check out the babe in the front row.
Exactly. Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. And then he'd transition into 3-2 count on Jaeger.
Just a little inside.
Now, I'll tell you what, Brett's Harry Carey impression might be my favorite thing ever now.
It could be. We may have to. Hey, Rob, if we can remember this in Burrito, if we can put this down, let's get some Harry Carey audio. We'll get real Harry Carey audio. And then there was SNL, like used to, it was a recurring SNL.
The Will Ferrell spoof, man, on SNL.
It was a Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
We'll pull some of that and we'll see who's better at Harry Carey. Will Ferrell
or Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. And we'll let the listeners decide who.
I'm going to go with Will.
No, I don't know. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I need to get some more. I got to brush up on my Harry Carey so I can give you more lines.
Perfect.
But I remember watching all that stuff and thinking he is loaded.
He's nothing wrong with that. All right, listen, GovX, we want to take a moment to salute the uniformed professionals who sign up to serve causes greater than themselves. If you ever served in the military, law enforcement, firefighting, or the frontline medical communities, you're eligible for free membership at govx.com. You know, I watch these commercials, and these products are amazing. They got sunglasses. They have all these really, really cool things. And the cool thing about GovX.com is if you're one of these uniformed professionals, you become a member and you get these cut rates on it. The greatest online shopping site for Americans of service like you.
Yeah, GovX believes service-minded patriots like you deserve special recognition. GovX.com delivers the deals on all the gear you need for your on and off duty life. And they have some great stuff.
Yeah, and you register to GovX for instant access to discounts on epic brands like Oakley, Yeti, Garmin, Vortex Optics, Benchmade, Danner, and more. The site was built exclusively for the men and women who serve our country and communities. That's why every month GovX supports nonprofits serving the military, first responders, or law enforcement communities. We don't just thank you for your service. We honor it, and we do that as well. We here at this show thank you and honor your service.
Yeah, and signing up is easy, fast, and totally free.
And if you become a member today, you can use FARV for $15 off your first order of $50 or more. GovX.com. Savings for those who serve. Again, that promo code is FARV, and that is a great, great site, not just because they sponsor the show, because it's really cool.
Yeah.
Brett, you mentioned something earlier, Jeopardy. I noticed they're going through a rotation of guest hosts. Alex Trebek passed away from pancreatic cancer. Sorry. Yeah. It passed. And the first host was Ken Jennings. He was historically the all time leading money winner on Jeopardy. He was pretty good. 6 weeks run. I'm not a big fan of Jennings. It was okay. It was no Alex Trebek, but now in a few weeks is Ken Jennings, the executive producer. I'm sorry, that was Ken Jennings. Mike Richards is the executive producer. Ken Jennings was the all-time leading winner. Mike Richards, the executive producer, is going to take over for a few weeks. This guy was a game show host. He's pretty good as well. It sounds like you're a Jeopardy fan.
Love it. I suck. why can't it be sports all the time?
Sports Jeopardy.
Geography. I'm pretty good at geography. Before we go any further, I got to tell you my geography story. Now, I was young, so just bear with me. My freshman year in college, Southern Miss, 1987, I have what was called elective classes I could sign up for. So I signed up for geography because I'm pretty good at states and capitals. I said, hey, this will be good. I'll be good in this. So about 3 weeks into, it was a Tuesday, Thursday class. It was a 9 to 10:30. It was a longer class. And all I remember is the professor's name was Ron. I can't remember his last name. Not a good guy. And so like 3 weeks in, I always wore a red hat that had an S on it. And I'll tell you why I remember that. I'm 17, 18 years old. So 3 weeks in, I'm like, this is hard. I'm saying this to myself. I said, we're talking about rock formations and different crust. So after class that day, I said, hey, Professor Ron, can I talk with you for a second? Sure. So I said, look, I signed up for this class and, it's hard. When do we do like states and capitals? And the look on his face, I can still remember it, was like one of amazement and shock at the same time. And he says, we're in geology. I said, geology? What the hell's the difference? And he said, there's a lot different between the two. We don't do states and capitals here, but I tell you what, it was too late to drop it. He said, if you show up for class every time, which that was no problem for me. You show up for class and you give me your best effort, you're going to make a good grade. And I was 100% participation. I don't know what I actually made. I got a B, and it may have been a B to begin with, but it was hard. I'm 3 weeks in. I'm thinking I'm in geography. I'm wondering when, we talk about, where's Capital the bad land?
Where's Albany, New York? What was the S on your hat for?
The previous year I played in the Mississippi High School Football All-Star, and it was South versus North.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted him to see me in that seat. So I always make sure my red hat,
right.
Not that he wouldn't have known me. Anyway, so I made sure he knew I was there.
So Katie Kirk is going to be one of the hosts. I think Anderson Cooper, they said, is going to be one of the hosts of Jeopardy. But I noticed your pal, I'm not sure if your pal, your fellow footballer, Aaron Rodgers, is going to be hosting Jeopardy April 5th for a stint. Maybe
he'll be good. He'll do a good job with that. If I could do it remotely, I would love to do it. I'm not going to go out there and live but I think that would be a cool job. When you were talking about who they were thinking about, I was just running through people. Tom Hanks to me would be a great one. Yeah. He's got a full plate, I'm sure, But I think he would be doing an exceptionally good job. But, you know, the problem with this is no matter who it is, until this generation is dead and gone or forgets, we're always going to be measuring whoever.
Yeah.
In regards to, you know, the superiority of Alex Trebek. Yeah. That's what we relate that show to is Alex Trebek.
I was on the Five at Fox, and we brought in Alex Trebek. And it was a talk show. We did it for 6 years. And we'd occasionally bring someone in, not every day, but someone, it'd be a sixth person at the desk. And I'll tell you, Trebek came in, and it was just, the guy is just so personable. He's just the nicest guy in the world, smart, intelligent, articulate, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And it translated on TV. Pat Sajak, a friend of mine, also translates, only he's a little snarky and funny. Pat. He is one Pat. Funny guy. I mean, he can't do it on Wheel of Fortune, but you know, when I'm texting or DMing him, he is hysterical.
No, he's awesome. I mean, that's there's, you know, when I think of the good old days back when we were young, you know, you didn't have cable TV. You had two or three channels, and you're lucky if all three of them came in clear. But, you know, when you're home from school, you had to watch in the mornings, you had to watch game shows. And then if you were steadfast on watching TV in the afternoon from lunch on, it was soap operas, which was, you know, I'd much rather watch paint dry, get all my teeth pulled. You remember those days.
No whammy.
Wink Martindale.
Oh, you just brought a Pressure Luck was my all-time favorite.
Whammies, right?
No whammies, Rob, man. Yeah.
Big bucks, no whammies.
No whammies.
Do you remember the controversy with Pressure Luck? There was a player on here who they had to stop because he or she, I can't remember, I think it was a he, kept winning because he knew that every time the thing that was going around the wheel or the board hit a certain spot, he'd count 1,000 and press, and it would kept hitting the number. And
so it was like card counting.
He was hard counting. He was never going to lose. So they had to fix the show. They'd stop it.
It was in the 70s, and he won like $100,000 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is probably like a trillion today.
He didn't lose. They had to stop the game so he'd stop winning. Do you remember? And this is I'm pretty sure this. I'm going to try and look this up, but I'm 99% sure this is. You know what? Pat Sajak, Wheel of Fortune's been around 38 years now. Do you know who the first host of Wheel of Fortune was? It wasn't Pat.
No, I knew that there was a previous host. I actually remember that. When you say the name, I'm going to know.
Chuck Woolery.
I was going to say, yeah.
Chuck Woolery. He had a contract dispute, left, I believe, after 1 or 2 years of Wheel of Fortune, and went to go do Love Connection. Remember Love Connection?
Is that where he said, we'll be back in 2 and 2?
2 and 2.
That's right.
2 and 2. But Sajak went on to the next 36 years as being the Wheel of Fortune.
It's just worked out well for him.
Yeah, he's done a good job with him. Vanna White's been amazing throughout the whole thing. I don't know why I did. I just, because I think, I guess because I saw Aaron Rodgers.
For the older listeners that are listening to us, you're chuckling right now because you remember Bob Barker. You know, don't forget to get your pet spayed and neutered.
Yep.
You know, I've always thought, what the hell is that? What's that got to do with the game show?
So I have a question for you. Happy Gilmore, right? Isn't that that's the golf movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I admit I haven't seen it. I could be one few men my age who haven't seen it. Wasn't Bob Barker in Happy Gilmore?
Yes, he was.
Okay, because I
think he beats up Adam Sandler.
Yeah, they get into a big fist fight on the golf course.
That's what it was, because I saw something with Adam Sandler and whoever he played, you know, the cocky guy, whoever the cocky guy.
Anyway, Shooter McGavin.
Happy Gilmore. I guess there's some sort of thing going on social media, like a rematch between the two, but not real rematch, like a virtual rematch. But don't bring on Bob Barker. I don't even know if he's still alive. Is he still alive?
Bob's still with us, yeah. He's still around.
He's got to be up there.
Oh, he's in his 90s. Bob. Yeah, but he's still there. But he was the best.
What was that guy's name? The Family Feud. Kissed everybody.
Oh, yeah. Richard Dawson. British guy.
Yeah, Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson. He used to kiss all the contestants. Yeah.
Yeah. and on the lips.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I'll bet you he was having a few pops before the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd like to know how what he would do in COVID times. He's like, I'm still kissing him. I mean, that was his deal.
All right, Rob, you want to play a little bowling alley?
I can't. Did you want to mention the United story, or did we want to go back to that?
No? Yeah, I forgot.
That's okay.
Because Brett was very into this. It's scary. I mean, I guess it's things that cause nightmares for some people. Personally, I don't fear flying. I don't fear any of that stuff. But that big United airplane, where one of the engines caught fire after taking off a little bit into the flight, where they got that amazing cell phone video. But I think Rob has the Mayday call.
Mayday, Mayday, United 28, 328 heavy, Mayday, Mayday aircraft. Denver departure, United 328 heavy, Mayday aircraft just experienced engine failure, need a turn immediately.
328 heavy, left or right turn?
Left turn.
328, let's turn left heading 080.
Left heading 080, United 328 heavy.
Yeah, so there it is. And if you've seen it all over social media, all over the news, that one of the engines was blatantly on fire, and then all that debris was falling into that neighborhood. So, but Brett, ever have any close encounters like that? Are you a good flyer? No. Let me ask you that.
I went through a phase where I was petrified of flying, and I'll never forget. I boarded a plane in Chicago O'Hare, and I was coming back home from Green Bay. So Green Bay, I went to O'Hare, and there was several different ways you could get home, but you had to make two connections. Chicago, Detroit, or Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then generally, this is back when Memphis was used a bunch by Northwest. That was most of the time how I went, but I was going to Atlanta and then Atlanta to Gulfport. And so, I was petrified flying. I got on the plane, was either all the way in the back or like second row from the back. And this guy was sitting next to me, and we took off, got a little ways. We hit some turbulence, nothing out of the ordinary. And I grabbed the seat in front of me with both hands. And the guy next to me, this is how we struck up a conversation. The guy next to me looks at me and he goes, "That ain't going to do you no good."
It's not going to help you.
And I remember that so vividly. And that was such a long time ago. And we end up striking up a conversation, and he put me at ease. He was a pilot. And I'm like, "Shouldn't you be flying?" He goes, "Well, pilots actually don't fly all the time. You know, when I'm off duty, I got to fly back to home, you know, wherever." And
they don't bring the plane back home and park it in the driveway.
Right. And so I said, do you have a fear of flying? And he said, "Only when I'm not the pilot."
When I'm not the pilot. So you know our pain when you're back there. I'm trying to figure out, do we really need seat belts? I mean, come on.
No.
Right? I mean, so it's over. It's over for going down. Now there's only about an inch that in economy that you can push your seat back. Do I really need my seat back up anytime? Can I just leave the thing an inch back? And what's the point? What is that? What's the reason for that?
Somebody's just got to make rules.
Make rules.
You know.
You ever notice they tell you the same shit about the seat back and the no smoking and the tray table three different times before you take off?
Yeah, that's the legal department. That's what that is. That's the legal department. Cover your ass.
I'm just married, I think maybe a year or so at the time, and I go out to Vegas with my friends, and my mom comes to stay at my house and hangs out with my new wife, and they're not getting along. And Brett, so I land in Vegas and I get a call from my mom, and she says, it's not good. And I get a call from my wife and it's not good. So I'm like, you guys really, I got to come home. And I literally take the next flight, the next morning. So I had this flight, the first one out, I had to go through Phoenix. We take off. We're about 5 minutes into the flight and the pilot comes on and says, we have a situation up here. When he comes on, you can hear all the noise in the cockpit, and there's alarm, stuff going on. You can tell there's a big problem in the cockpit. What had happened was they lost left, right. They didn't lose up, down rudders. They lost left, right. And he said, "Just be prepared. We're landing in Phoenix. It could be a very bad landing. Just prepare yourself. And all these people were freaking out, Brett. And so what the pilot had to do is left, right, based on acceleration on the engines, just to negotiate left and right. Up and down was still working. Make a long story short, we had a pretty decent hard landing. We hit the ground. People were just losing their mind. But in the air, I'm thinking, that's it. This is my mom and my wife can't get along. This is why I'm going down into a fiery blaze of crashness. So that's my one story. But when you hear that noise in the cockpit, you know something's wrong. It scares the crap out of you.
Yeah, it sounds like the pilots did an awesome job. Maybe it was, I don't know anything about flying, but maybe it was status quo. Like, all right, if this happens and we're at this elevation, we safely know we can get in. But
yeah,
I'd be very thankful that pilot or pilots after that engine was blown. That had to be so frightening.
Yep. It's weird though. When you're up there and it's like nothing you can do about it, there's some sort of, I don't know, this may sound strange, but I wasn't really panicking. It was scary. It was like, okay, nothing you can do. Let's see how this works out.
Before we wrap up, I wanted a friend of mine, Matt Helms, lives in Atlanta. And, you know, we kind of put it out there last week about trying different food services, ready-made meals delivered. And I haven't tried it yet, but I ordered some meals from a company called Freshly. I think they come Wednesday or Thursday, the meals. I ordered a three or four day meal plan. Just give it a try. So I'll let you know next week.
A friend of mine listening to the show says, tell Brett, Kevin's Natural will fill him up. Cause I think last time you said they sent you something that wasn't very big, but he said Kevin's Natural is one of these that you
all right. I'm gonna put that in my notes.
Just throwing it down there. Rob, do we have time to do the bowling alley?
Yeah, we can. Why don't you thank our friends at IP Vanish one more time, and then we'll dive into some of these bowling alley questions.
Again, as Rob pointed out, we want to take one more minute and thank our friends at IP Vanish for doing an amazing job keeping us safe online. You found our podcast, so you probably spend a lot of time online. And again, don't forget to rate us and review us on Apple and Spotify. So are you keeping your data safe and private? IP Vanish can help you do that for a great price.
Virtual private network, as we talked about, it works on computers, tablets, phones. And the most important thing to me is it's really affordable.
Affordable. IP Vanish helps keep your data protected for $3.49 a month or just $27.99 a year, and you get anonymous IP addresses. Again, this is important because your personal IP address can't be traced by anyone on the web. You can circumvent any online censorship, get protection when using public Wi-Fi, and all your data is encrypted so no one can snoop on what you're doing.
And again, $3.49 a month is obviously a no-brainer.
And because they love the show, we love the show. They want to hook you up with 65% off right now. Just go to ipvanish.com/Favre, F-A-V-R-E, and claim your 65% savings. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot with more than 6,000 reviews. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/Favre to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. I spelled your name, Brett, because I was on with Megyn Kelly this past week after we were on. She says, is it Favre or Favre? I'm like, it's Favre. And she said, well, it looks like it's Favre. I'm like, oh, well, I think it's French. It's French, right?
Yeah, it's got to be. Now because there's a lot of, I don't know how they pronounce it over there, but there's a lot of F-A-V-R-E's in French. Actually, my oldest daughter, the one, Eric, who went to College of Charleston for a little bit, did the ancestry.com, and I don't remember what great grandfather came over, but it was a long time ago, and his name was, and this is, you know, it's French, Beauregard Favre.
It sounds like that's Louisiana, right? New Orleans.
Exactly. So yeah.
If you don't name one of your dogs Beauregard now, then what are we even doing, you know?
Right. Beauregard
Favre. I mean, come on.
Beauregard Favre. The next dog's got to be that. We were also interviewed last week or a week before by, was it Vanity Fair, Brett?
Yes.
So make sure you keep your eye out for that piece.
Yeah, that's a little high class for you and I, right?
I think so.
Tell you what.
I think they liked it though.
Caleb
Carmo is the author. I think he was a Brett Favre fan, which always helps.
Usually helps. All right, you want to do some quick questions here in the bowling alley?
Well, let's do a couple of them because I love this, but I was tempted to save it. What do you guys think?
Well, we can hang on to it if you want. I mean, we're kind of near the end of the show anyway, but some of these are fun.
We're getting to the end of the show. It's called the bowling alley, and it's like 10 frames, 10 random questions from our listeners. Let's do a couple, Rob. I really want the listeners to get involved and call in or email in or text in, however they do it. But remember, 888-601-0032 is a free toll-free number. You can call and ask Brett or Eric anything. I know you're going to want to hear from Brett. You want me to read them, Rob?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Let's do this one. If we had a chef here right now and you can order any meal you want, Brett, what are you ordering?
Fried shrimp and french fries, but it's got to be fried like my wife, my brother-in-law, or my mom fries them, or the people down south fry them. Usually cornmeal, very little batter, so you can really enjoy the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
I love fried shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with your vegan challenge, though? I don't think that's going to work with the vegan, right?
Let's just be clear. I'm not going vegan.
Okay.
It's been talked about and used a little loosely. I'm gluten free. I stay away from dairy as much as I can. But I'm allergic to gluten for people who don't know. I have a slight allergy to dairy, soy, and eggs. So I'm not saying I can't eat those. I'm just trying to eat better. I've got a little 15 pounds overweight right now.
Well, try my diet. It's working. For me, it would be a big, thick, fat tuna steak. Just a piece of tuna. Just throw it right on a grill, char grill. Don't put anything on it. No, nothing. Just throw it on the grill, flip it over each side, maybe a couple of minutes. And like you, Brett, a big old bowl of french fries.
Yeah.
That'll do it. What movie will you always watch if it's on?
There's several, but recently, it's funny because I get up about 5:30 every morning and I let the dog out of the kennel. She goes and uses the restroom outside, and then she sits on my lap and I watch TV and eat some yogurt. That's the same deal every morning. And always, it's kind of like my time to turn on the movie channels, and I just scroll. 501's the first movie channel, and I just keep scrolling until I catch the Green Mile or Castaway.
Castaway. Great movie to watch.
Pretty much any Tom Hanks movie. Say Top Gun's on. Yeah. I've seen it 1,000 times, just like the others. And there's 45 minutes left. I got to finish that 45.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm going to agree with you. Castaway is something you can watch.
Tombstone.
Tombstone is great.
Some great old Westerns. Great. All right. How about this one? And let's just leave it on this one. The casting has begun for the Beatles biopic. Are you a Beatles fan? And what music did your parents raise you on? Forget what music your parents raised you on. What music did you grow up listening to?
Well, let me show my intellectual prowess here. What does biopic mean?
All about the Beatles. Biography.
Why don't they just put biography?
Because it could be a written. It could be a book, a biography, but a biopic is a biographical movie. Right, Rob?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Now that's cleared up.
So here's the story. There's a Beatles movie, more like a documentary type movie coming out. Point is, do you like the Beatles? And if not,
sure. I like a lot of their songs. Growing up, I guess the best way to describe my taste in music is what a lot of what I listen to now. I listen, like if I'm listening to XM radio, 70s on 7 probably gets the most play. 80s.
Yeah.
Classic rock. I like R&B, but I like my generation R&B, which when I was in high school, I loved R&B. So like Kool & the Gang, Gap Band, New Edition. Yeah, I mean, that was my generation. And anything, Michael Jackson, loved Michael. I mean, Jeffrey Osborne, James Ingram. I mean, I didn't like country until The Dance came out by Garth Brooks, which I was in my junior year of college. When I heard The Dance, I started liking country. I didn't dislike the others, but like if Hall & Oates is within a couple hours of us during a concert, I'm going.
You're going. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going, right. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of different.
I'm gonna push back on the Beatles. I think they're a 60s boy band pop. I'm just not a fan. Never got into the Beatles genre at all. I was more Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, The Who, classic older hard rock growing up, which is now classic rock. But at the time it was bad boy stuff. You weren't supposed to be listening to that. Parents didn't like you to go to listen to such hard metal rock.
Ball
like
Skaggs, Lido Shuffle.
Lido Shuffle. Lido
Shuffle. America.
Yeah, see, I was a little harder than that. That stuff was a little soft for me, that stuff.
You're kind of Pulp Fictionist.
Yeah, a little bit like that. A little bit like that.
I see.
All right, Brett, was always good. Great time. Next week, we got some stuff. We got some work. He's going to give us his best Harry Carey. Rob, we're going to pull up some real Harry Carey, a little SNL.
Yeah, and for our listeners, my good friend Darius Rucker told me yesterday he'd love to come on. So we're going to have a chat with him here in the next few weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Love Darius.
He lives right here in Charleston. Bumped into, met him several times here.
Yeah.
We'll good see dude. If we can get you guys to. I think he's a big. He likes to play golf here, I believe, in my neighborhood. So,
big golfer.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get you guys on the golf course, and we'll do a podcast from a golf cart. What do you think?
Maybe. Yeah, sounds good.
That sounds good. All right, everybody. Don't forget, rate the show, review the show, and we will see you next time. Bowling with Favre.
Get back into it.
What about Brett Favre?
Follow the show on Twitter for the latest news and links to all our social media channels at Bowling with Favre.
Bowling with Favre is executive produced by Ali Brito and Rob Jenners.
This has been a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.